Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast, our first November edition. Amazingly, the year is almost over. As we record on the 3rd of November, 2021, episode 791 of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, for our NFL show for a week, looking over week 8 of the NFL, I'm joined by one Robert Sapp. Mr. Sapp, how are you doing this evening?
Doing pretty good. Can't complain. How you doing?
I'm here. I am here. We're gonna get right into it. I think
yeah,
that we're gonna make some podcasts, NFL Real Deal Podcast history for our NFL show, because it could be like this might be a situation where you can win and lose the week in one basically one podcast. We'll begin with the good as far as the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers goes. We'll certainly get to the other things soon enough. The Packers, of course, to me, as a team, won the week. That was a just tremendous victory over Arizona last Thursday. It was a fun game to watch. Really, the game plan from start to finish was flawless. Give Matt LaFleur a lot of credit. And of course, when you have a, you know, one of the greatest players, one of the greatest to ever do it, to execute it, in terms of Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance. Neither one of us thought that this was possible, considering the injuries. Their top three receivers, led by, of course, you know, the great Davante Adams, who is in the conversation for best receiver in the sport, and you know, some of the other injuries they had with on the offensive line and in the defensive secondary. In particular, Jair Alexander. But again, this is, to me, this was a victory of culture. Like, we, you know, we are the Packers. We've been a contender for the better part of a decade. We, you know, LaFleur now is 33-7 in his first 40 games. One of the great starts in NFL history for a coach. And again, when you have number 12 on the sidelines or on the field, you just, you always have a chance. Yep. Excellent game to watch. I'm not down on Arizona by any stretch. It's just one of those things. They were not going to go undefeated. Timing was a little off. Certain throws that Kyler Murray missed here and there, I thought they could, thought they should have took more shots down the field. They absolutely had the DeAndre Hopkins injury was actually a major factor. As well as he went out, you know, had the hamstring, tried to come back, but was never, you know, wasn't the same. Basically was a decoy in the fourth quarter. What were your overall thoughts of this game?
Yeah, this is a challenging one, real, to talk about. The first thing that I thought was life comes at you fast. So, yeah, that was a nice win by the Packers. That was a nice win. And especially now, a needed win. So yeah.
Who knew? Who knew? Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So we might as well get right into it. Of course, today Aaron Rodgers found out Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. And he also found out, of course, that he'll be out for the Kansas City game this Sunday. That game in Green Bay or Kansas City?
Here's what I do know. That it was a pick'em game, and now the Chiefs are favored by 7.
Oh, so probably, so I would say it's in Kansas. It was Kansas City.
Yeah.
And also we found out that Aaron Rodgers lied about being vaccinated. Blatantly lied. Like, it wasn't it just wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He said that during August, during training camp, whatever, or during the preseason, he said that, you know, he was immunized and he wasn't going to judge other guys who didn't choose to get the shot and what have you. And it turns out that he was 100% full of shit.
Hey.
What are your thoughts on this? He's going to miss this game. He'll probably only miss one game. And but in terms of just, do you expect any recourse from the NFL? What are your thoughts?
Right. so many thoughts. So my first thought is lucky for the Chiefs. Lucky for the Chiefs. You know, a game that felt very challenging for them to win now feels very winnable, right? Like, so that's the first thing. So they are living a fortunate life. The second thought that I have was Aaron Rodgers, not the greatest teammate this year. Not the greatest teammate in the world this year. For somebody who is the quote-unquote leader of your team and plays like it on the field, I can't take that away from him. Everything else has been really bad, like really bad. Any other positional player does anything like he did this year, and they're not on the team. We're not having this conversation because they're no longer on the team. So he's very fortunate. He is who he is. Will the NFL do anything? I lean towards no, but they have surprised me before in how much they like taking using certain players as an example. And so I could see a potential reason to do that, but I don't have any high hopes that there's going to be any significant recourse. I would say personally, this pretty much confirms that the Packers are not going to be in the Super Bowl to me. Aaron Rodgers can't beat Tom Brady. He just can't. He doesn't have the mentality. He doesn't have the makeup to go through somebody that has that type of mentality and that type of makeup, where winning is everything to them. Winning secondary for Aaron Rodgers. This kind of like proves it. Him being right or being perceived as right and doing what he wants to do is first. That's my hot take on it. My biggest takeaway is that Aaron Rodgers is who I thought he was, and the Packers will be where I thought they will be, which will be home before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I
think I don't even have to think twice about it anymore. I really don't. I don't care what happens when he comes back. They'll have a fine record. It'll be fine. There's no way.
Yeah, I'm not going to quite go that far.
I knew you were, but I am.
I know you are. I know you did. I'm not going to quite go that far to say
because you did not play Tom Brady for 20 years, two times. Right. You didn't see it. That's why I didn't. You didn't see it. So you don't live this life. I know. I get it. I'm telling you, no way in hell. No way. Zero.
Well, I mean, we got to assume that. I mean, here's the thing. We have to. I'm not assuming. I don't disagree from the standpoint that they wouldn't be Tampa, but they might not play Tampa. So that's a part. I'm taking that into account as well. But they might have a role where they don't even play Tampa. So that's why I can't eliminate them from going to the Super Bowl from that standpoint. On the premise of what you're saying, I do agree from the standpoint of that this is not what leaders, true leaders, do.
Championship,
yes.
It's different. There's a difference. There's a different level if it's just about making it into the playoffs.
No. Yeah. I agree from
that. It's a different level.
This is not what championship leaders do. There's no reason to lie about it and just deal with the smoke. Deal with the smoke of the criticism that you would have received for being unvaccinated. I give Kirk Cousins credit. Kirk Cousins said, look, I'm not vaccinated. Y'all can criticize me, cool. I'm just gonna go out and play. So I get from that. Even though I don't agree with being unvaccinated at that, especially at the quarterback position, and if you're at that position from that standpoint. But I respect Kirk Cousins is coming out and just telling the truth and just saying and dealing with any criticism that have come his way. You know, be authentic. That's my thing. Be authentic. This shit, like to your point, comes off as phony. It comes off as, like you said, you're trying to give others They say there's a difference between character versus reputation. Like, I will take character all day. Character is who you are. Your reputation is who people perceive you to be. So you lying, you're worried about reputation from that standpoint. But your character stood out.
He was in a public battle with management, wanted to be perceived as the good guy in the
Yes.
situation and wanted no criticism. He wanted his cake
And yeah,
and
eat it too.
eat it
Yes,
too.
after 100, 1,000%, 1,000%. Yep. So, yeah, this, you just can't, you
It's
can't.
horrible. It's a horrible look. It
It's
just
just,
is.
yeah, it's, it
Period.
is. No, it is
End
what
of
it is.
story.
I mean, I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan on the field, but I can't defend this, especially with considering some of the conversations that we've had off air about impact in terms of winning those championship tangibles that the Bill Russells, the Tim Duncans, Kobe, the rest in peace to the Kobe
Yeah.
Bryant, that they had.
Yep.
He doesn't have those intangibles. He just doesn't. He
Nope.
has one Super Bowl, but for his talent, he should probably have two to three.
Yep. He's
But
psychotically talented.
yes,
He is
without
absolutely
question, yes.
psychotically talented, a fantastic player at his position. But there's a reason why he has one Super Bowl. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
And you look at the other greats who have multiples, and the difference is in the mental makeup, however you want to define that. The difference is in the mental makeup.
Yeah. No, it's no two ways about it. Like, see your point about Kansas City, they get a gift.
Boy, do they get a
They
gift.
get a gift.
Boy,
Woo,
do they get a gift.
they get a gift.
Man.
They get a gift,
I don't know who is praying, but whoo, boy,
it
prayers
was answered.
answered.
It was.
Wow.
It was answered.
That is an answered prayer.
No two way. That's all it is to it. And frankly, the rest of the AFC gets a gift because I thought the Packers were in, pretty good shape
They're
for
in pole position. Both teams in
the
both conferences that felt like they were in pole position just
Yeah.
suffered huge losses. Of course, Tennessee is more
Yeah, we'll
significant,
talk. Yeah, no, Ted. Yeah, but yeah,
but
to your point, yeah,
like you said, this opens the door for a lot of teams.
no two ways about it. Real or not, we go to the AFC where two former
Challenging.
stalwarts are kind of, rounding into shape. The Steelers had a great win this week over the Browns. Just tremendous defense. Steelers are still, a top defense. Disappointing for the Browns, and we'll talk more about that. But look now, the Steelers are 4-3. Are they real as playoff contenders?
So we're not going either or. So we're just focusing on the Steelers right now. Okay. So if I'm just focusing on the Steelers,
Right.
I will say that the Steelers are real because of their division. The Browns are spiraling, just absolutely spiraling. So not really competition there. They absolutely have a championship defense. Like, absolutely. That is a championship defense. I was talking about it at work today, and we talked about it as well. Coaching matters in the
Yes.
NFL, and big game experience matters. And that is carrying them enough on the offensive side of the ball as they consistently improve their offensive philosophy enough to win games, enough to support their defense in winning games. I cannot say enough. That is a championship defense. Like, for real, that is a championship defense. That side of the ball is as rock solid can be. And they're doing enough. We're not used to saying this in the modern day NFL. They're doing enough on offense to win enough games that they should win that division. That means you're in the playoffs. Now, beyond that, we cannot talk Super Bowl with these two teams.
Hold on.
Specifically.
Did you just say they should win a division?
Yes.
Even with Baltimore and Cincinnati?
Oh, wait, that's right.
Slow down.
Sorry.
I said, we're just making the playoffs.
Yes, that's what I meant, making the playoffs.
Okay, gotcha. I think they're real. I think they're going to be around. Again, we get back to that word, the C word, culture. That is still a culture that expects to be successful. That's still a culture that demands, that doesn't make excuses no matter what the circumstances are. I want to get back to Tomlin for a second. Said something interesting last week. He was asked about the USC job, which will be open when the season ends. And again, you know, USC, one of the top college jobs in all of football, in all of college football, great, you know, it's a legendary program. And he basically, I mean, he was heated because he's like, basically, why would I leave Pittsburgh for a college job? And basically he said, you don't ask Andy Reid this, you wouldn't ask Sean Payton this. What did you take from that comment? That reaction he had?
I completely at his word. I really did. Like, this is ridiculous. Nobody, I've never even given any indication of doing that. I don't even know where that came from, to be honest with you. So I hear his frustration. And yeah, it was a ridiculous. It was a ridiculous report. And he shut it down immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this is one of the best jobs in all the sports, and I'm going to leave it for not even the best college job. Like, USC is a great job, but it's not Alabama. Like, and he would, by the way, he wouldn't leave Pittsburgh for Alabama.
No way.
Yeah. So let's, I mean, yeah, no, I thought the answer was perfect. Like, yeah, I thought he, yeah, like, come on. What are we talking about here? This is Pittsburgh. We six Super Bowls. What are we saying here?
I want to amend my statement. I had a brain, I don't know, just aneurysm. I don't know what I was thinking. Here's what I wanted to say. What the flip of the Steelers. The Steelers have a championship defense. The offense is doing enough for them to win games. I can't buy them because of their division. That's what I wanted.
Okay, got you. Okay, got you. Yeah, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think that they will be in the mix. I can see them getting eliminated like the last game. I can see that. I don't think they're going anywhere. Like, I don't see them falling off the cliff, or I think that defense is enough to keep them in a lot of games and win them and keep them in the mix, especially with the extra spot. But I don't know. I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs. So I would say not real from that standpoint. The 4-4 New England Patriots playing have been on the uptick since that game against Tampa, which they easily could have won. Had some impressive back-to-back impressive wins. Actually, you know, just, you know, had their way with the Chargers. And now, you know, they have evened their record up. Defense is playing well. They've got enough out of Mac Jones. Belichick is Bill Belichick as far as game plans and what he's trying to do from that standpoint. What are your thoughts on the Patriots?
Their path is infinitely easier than Pittsburgh's path. You have to give them a better chance at making the division, even though they're not as talented as the Steelers. They do not have a championship defense. No. What they have is fantastic coaching. And I have to give the devil his due. And Bill Belichick and his entire staff, they are getting better as the season goes along. Yep. And you cannot overlook them. Just cannot overlook them. You overlook them at your own peril. And their schedule is not their schedule's not that challenging. It will come down to what they can do against the division leader, the Buffalo Bills. That's what it will come down to.
Yeah, they have two games against the Bills,
That's ultimately what it comes down to. If the Bills are real enough, the Patriots don't make the playoffs. If the Bills aren't and slip up, then the Patriots can very well make the playoffs.
I'm going to say not real because I just don't think the talent's there. Especially considering some of the, I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs again. I think that they will be around.
Their next four games are Panthers, Browns, Falcons, Titans.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Then they have two against us, and then the other two, the Colts and the Jaguars.
That is not a
nope.
Arduous schedule, but nope. I still would lean towards no. I give them a better chance than Pittsburgh, but I still say no. Because I think
if the Bills clip on twice, impossible for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
If it slips up, then they absolutely can. The games on that would concern me if the Titans, of course, would have concerned me, but not any longer. And then the Colts a little bit.
Colts have talent.
And that's it, to be honest with you. That's it. Outside, of course, Buffalo. That's what it comes down to. And they know it. They know it.
I think it's
to get the division.
I think these two teams are similar to me in terms of they will be around. They are obviously two of the better coach teams in the league. So that alone has a chance to keep them in the mix. For the most part, fundamentally sound teams. So I think they'll both be tough teams to beat in the stretch run. There'll be some games where, even against top competition that they play well, it might even steal a game, but I don't see either one of them make the playoffs. I just don't. I don't say that too confidently because of the pedigree and who their coaches are. But if you made me make a choice, I would say neither one of them makes the playoffs. Get the Patriots slightly a better chance to make the playoffs. Biggest disappointments, and there are now we can clear Aaron Rodgers because we flushed that out. But there were plenty to say. This was a battle of disappointments this week. Obviously, we got to begin with the Henry Ruggs III situation, which ended with a person losing their life. Of course, he was arrested for a DUI that, like I said, ended with a person losing their life in Vegas at about 3:40 in the morning. He and his girlfriend were taken to the hospital. A young 23-year-old lady was killed along with her dog. He was driving up to 156 miles an hour, which I just think about how fast the fastest I've ever driven a car is probably like 95. And I couldn't even imagine driving. When I heard that, I was like, I couldn't even imagine driving a car that fast. Like, so you had that going on. Of course, he gets released and he has certainly bigger problems than just his NFL career, which to me probably is over. He's more than likely going to go to jail. I have a lot of thoughts on this. Give me your initial thoughts on this when you heard this news.
Yeah, this story doesn't resonate with me. I don't know this player, and I don't like the fact that somebody died. So this is not something that I follow heavily. That's my take on that.
Okay.
I don't like this story.
Yeah, no. Like I said, the fact, rest in peace to Dawson Percy, that person, the young lady who died at the age of 23. I guess listen, things are going to happen when guys get to the league in terms of the money, the fame. I think it's harder being an athlete now than it has ever been. Now, people won't say, well, what about the money? Well, the money doesn't make up for character or decision making. He will have to, he's going to pay a near and dear price for his actions, and rightfully so. I guess, I guess what I would like to see moving forward is, and again, this has nothing to do with the leagues per se in all sports, because the league, listen, a league is going to say, yeah, hey, you're a grown man, you're getting paid a lot of money, you are responsible for your actions, and that's that. So I don't expect anything from these leagues as far as programs and guiding these players as they enter the league. That's it sounds good. I guess I would want to speak to the previous generation of players that have come before this group and just encourage mentorship to these young athletes. They're coming in with a lot of pressure. They're coming in with, it's a lot. And it's one thing to fight your way. I don't know Henry Ruggs' personal situation, where he came from as far as what was he poverty, was he poor, stuff like that. I don't know. I know just know he played for Alabama and was a great player at Alabama. But a lot of times, it's one thing to come from a situation where you have finally get some money, and then it's like, what do I do with this? How do I handle this lifestyle? I know for me, being an educator, how vital a mentor was to me as far as being able to follow, watch other administrators work, having developing close relationships with administrators and teachers who I looked up to and followed, and watched them, how they move. You, as a former teacher, had a teacher mentor, and I'm sure, not trying to speak for you, but I'm sure that was vital for your career as an educator. I just think that, if you're an athlete, ex-athlete, you're looking for a job that doesn't require you to be a coach, an analyst, or any work, you don't want to work in the administrative part of the sports league. I think the mentorship is definitely something that is needed throughout the course of sports, through any sport, especially with these four major team sports. So, again, thoughts and prayers out to the victim. Everybody's like, everybody loses with this situation. Everybody is affected, whose lives will never be the same from a situation that could have been easily prevented. Cincinnati Bengals suffered a major loss to a major loss to this just a horrible loss to the New York Jets and the great Mike White in New York. Just a classic trap game, coming off one of the better performances of the season in terms of what they did to Baltimore. What were your thoughts on what were your thoughts on the Bengals following that game?
Yeah, it's disappointing, of course, but this one falls into like normal disappointment, like normal football season disappointment. They're a young team. They, as every team, and especially teams that start having bigger and bigger aspirations, find out there's no week off in the NFL. You can't underestimate a team. You just can't in the NFL. And I get it. I get it. I'm sure that defense was in the room the beginning of the week and saying, who is this? And where do we find this tape? What college did he go to that we're looking at him and thinking they're just going to blow the doors off of this guy? And I watched that game in the beginning of the game. They weren't actually wrong. It was
He was
not a
throwing. He was. Yeah,
pretty kitty.
it was. It wasn't.
But you just can't underestimate any team in the NFL. And that's a lesson that every young team has to learn, honestly, in any sports. So it was a regular disappointment.
I'm going to kind of combine. I 1,000% agree with you. For Cincinnati is part of their growing pains as they try to become a playoff team and a contender. So, Yeah, it was disappointing, but not a just not a over not overly disappointed. I could combine these last two with Cleveland and Odell Beckham Jr. So Cleveland loses to the Pittsburgh, to Pittsburgh. Obviously, only being able to put 10 points is not good when you have
No.
the amount of talent that Cleveland has on his team. They are clearly in a I guess I'll deal with these issues separately, by matter of fact. They are on the downward spiral. We know they have injuries. No one cares because everybody in the league has injuries. Go ask Tennessee if they care about your injuries. No one cares. No one cares. Go ask the Saints. So what, like, to you, what, and I watched this game start to finish. What did you see that you didn't like, without taking away from the Pittsburgh performance?
I mean, like the Browns are spiraling. They're just spiraling. It's one of those situations, and we see it yearly. We see it in all the sports, everywhere. Just a team that has expectations that don't match the combination of their parts. And I think that's the part in the piece that parallel, not parallels, but brings in the Beckham situation. It's like, yeah, Beckham's a great name and a great talent at that time. But even at that time, it was a weird signing.
Right.
So it never felt like this was a harmonious combination. It bore itself out, and it's indicative of the environment. And to your point, I mean, not to your point, but you said earlier the culture in Pittsburgh. And we were talking offline, they have a culture that has been developed for 50 years.
Yes.
When you are a developing team, if you are going to bring in players that you have thoughts about, you need to have a culture that can support that. And
Yeah.
it is obvious that the Browns do not have that culture, and that they ran before they walked. And so, this is ultimately what that payoff needs to it has. Also, think about where he came from. He came from New York, which has a built-in culture. No matter what the season is, what's happening in the season, and their win and loss record, they do have an established culture there. And especially at that time when Odell was traded away. So he had already proven that he would buck up against a strong culture, and then you bring him to a team that was just starting to develop theirs. A winning culture. Because Cleveland definitely has a losing culture. They know that very well, very, very well. And so to put a fine point on it, we're seeing the realization of bringing in a player who, while talented, could not be contained by any of the cultural aspects that the organization had there.
Yeah, no, I agree with all those points. There's
A
nothing,
la Keyshawn Tampa Bay.
right? There's nothing
Remember
more,
that part?
yeah, there's nothing more annoying to me than when a family member speaks out for speaks out about their whatever son, cousin, whoever on Twitter and rips the organization. Is it just it just annoys me to no end. And we know these are the Odell Beckham's thoughts as well. So Odell Beckham Sr. is not only speaking for, it's not speaking, it's those they are two peas in the same pod, junior and senior, from that standpoint. But this, I would have told anybody when this signing happened that this would probably be how it's going to end.
This is surprising to no one.
No. Odell Beckham Jr., okay, first of all, you talk about, let's go back to the Giant culture. He basically single-handedly, along with the enabling of him, ruined that New York Giant culture, okay? It was a case of too much, too fast. He came in, put up great numbers the first 3 years, had the one-hand catch, which just, it turned out to be, now, from a financial standpoint, it made him a ton of money. But in terms of what it did, as far as it having him think that he was the greatest thing since sliced bread, it ended up being, to me, being part of a detriment from that standpoint. The guy hasn't been real in 5 years as far as a on the field. Bottom line is he's not getting open because he's just not that good anymore. He's been off injured. He's been injured. He's missed something like 39 games in the last 5 years. He didn't have great hands to begin with, even when he was putting up numbers. That he had a case that he would drop passes. And again, he's a classic case, and he's certainly not the first receiver, but he's a classic case of a guy who is about him to the detriment of your team. So I got an argument with a number of people who just were like, were just, oh, Eli sucks and da-da-da, and they don't know how to give him the ball and da-da-da. At the end of his Giant tenure, I was like, oh, have you watched him? Did you see him go before a playoff game, a week before a playoff game, go on a boat and then that next week have like four catches for 28 yards? I saw that. Did you not see that against the Green Bay Packers? And to me, he hasn't recovered from that. Like, that's been, like, after that, it's been all down here. So, if people don't remember, in 2016, the last year, the Giants were good, made the playoffs, had a great season that year, played Green Bay at Lambeau Field in the wild card game, and played well for, like, a half and then got destroyed in the second half. But a week before that game, he, along with some other teammates, were on a boat in Miami. And I said, if you're gonna go on all, if you're gonna do that, you better go out there and catch seven for 130 with two touchdowns. If you're gonna do that, so this is not a surprise whatsoever.
All the criticism that T.O. got and well deserved, that brother Ball.
He produced, Randy Moss. They produced, period. Like, they produced at all time levels. Okay, they were on the field. They were masters of their craft. They were in shape. They were like, no, they produce for all the shit. And both of them, more T.O. than Moss, we know he's a pain in the ass. We know he was a malcontent. But when he got on that field,
it's what we complain about a lot with the NBA players. And I mean, honestly, new age players, but it gets located in the NBA in our conversations. He got famous before he could prove, before we knew if he was consistently good.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And somehow that fame equated to he's great. And yes, that just wasn't accurate at all.
No. It was, like I said, it was a combination of just, it was a perfect storm of a combination of the too much too soon, New York City.
I love when reporters and media personalities, and by love, I'm being very sarcastic, report like he's the fastest player to reach.
Yeah, so and so
made catches in the first 3 years. Like, who gives a shit during the first what?
Yeah.
Like, and what does that mean? That means nothing.
Nothing.
No. We can't be talking about he's in his first seven games. I don't care about the first seven games.
No.
He's at his first, but no. Before, I'm invested in a player that can do things over a period of time, meaning years, years and years.
Yes.
Don't give me. I remember all those stats about him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No. Yeah.
Get out of here. No. We're just saying things because we have to say things. No. Do not put his name in the name, even the receivers we're talking about. Randy Moss is in Terrell Owens. No.
Yeah.
No, no, no. And damn sure, don't ever put him near like a Tim Brown or Jerry Rice or anything like that. Like, no. No, no, no. Stop. Stop with all of that. So, again, that gasses up someone's head and makes them think they're way better than they actually are.
Yeah. No. I never thought that, like, when I compare him to even contemporaries of his own, of this generation, I was like, I'd rather have Julio Jones and Antonio Brown easily. I was like, and Antonio Brown's, we turned out to be an asshole, but he produced for a significant period of time. Like, that's the problem.
Name, it's not even close, real.
It's not even close. It's not even.
We're not even in the same universe. Those players are so much better than the back of them.
Yeah.
It's not even the same universe.
Yeah. But again, you'll see. But see, I saw a tweet from, this is part of the problem too, and it's his own fault because he feeds into this. You know, LeBron tweets, you know, free OBJ and all that bullshit. But that type of stuff feeds the ego. Yeah, she's like, sure, free him. He should tweet free OBJ for the second time because this would be the second time he's going to get moved. This would be team number three. But yeah, no, but that, and he, you know, he's, of course, I mean, he's had, LeBron's had him on his show or whatever, you know, some of these, a lot of these guys are friends and roll for each other, you know, can't, like, that's, you're not going, other athletes don't criticize other athletes currently.
Well, here, and you're absolutely right. There's a difference between who someone is as a person and what they're doing at their job. I'm not criticizing Odell Beckham as a person. I don't know him, haven't talked to him.
Right.
So, who knows, from my perspective, how he is as a person. All I'm criticizing is what he has done at his job. And what I've seen of him over the course of his career is very unimpressive.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And now...
Him and Jadeveon Clowney in the exact same class, you got famous off a splash play. That does not make a career. Sorry.
No.
No. I'm glad you got lots of money. Happy for you. Good for you. And you're the one laughing all the way to the bank. Perfect. But when we're talking about your play on the field, that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And that should be criticized.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, that's fair game to criticize. Absolute fair game.
Hopefully, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you learn from this as you are developing your culture. Cleveland.
I'm not hoping anything for Cleveland.
Well, okay. Let me rephrase it. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, hopefully.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Hopefully, yes.
I definitely don't care.
Yeah, no, you wanted to crash and burn.
I just don't care.
Don't Cleveland, care, right?
Why are we talking? Why do we continue to talk about Cleveland? For what? For why?
But if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you hope that they learn from this. They don't need to chase guys like Odell Beckham because you have so many talented players at important positions. You have a great offensive line. You have a beast in Myles Garrett. So you could just plug receivers in. Baker Mayfield is, you know, you have still have Baker. So
These are conversations that just drive me crazy as a sports fan. It's like, why do we really have to talk about the Jets quarterback every 2 years? Why? For what? The Bears quarterback, for what? Before they've proven anything, why are we doing this every time? Like, we know what the end result is going to be. And at the very least, they got to prove it before we start having conversations about if they're good, if they're not good. I mean, if they're going to be good. We really got to do this every 2 or 3 years. And we really have to do this with Cleveland every whatever change again. Like, really? Really? Call me when Cleveland is consistently good for 3 years. Then we can have a conversation.
Oh, goodness.
Or they turn around like Kansas City and win a Super Bowl, right? Like, call me then.
All right. We touched on it a little bit with Tennessee. A lot of news in terms of trades and injuries. First, And I kind of think we touched on this maybe off air or on the last podcast
Definitely
about the
off air.
possibility, yeah,
Because
off
none of
air
these things are happening.
about Von Miller. How, first of all, what were your thoughts on the trade and how surprised are you that he was moved?
I apparently really wasn't paying attention because there were some deals that were out there that I just didn't know. So I'm saying that to say I was stunned when you texted me. Like literally, I was outside at recess with the kids, and you texted me. I looked down there and I went to the coach and the PE teacher and was like, look at this. And both of our words were not fair. That was the first one. And then honestly, I didn't believe it at first. I was like, this can't be real. That's made up. This is a made up. And then I looked at ESPN. I'm like, this is absolutely real. So not fair at all. And then now when I switch it to the Rams side, it makes all the sense in the world because in some combination, you're going to be facing Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, and Tom Brady. So you're going to have to get pressure on the quarterback. Like that's going to be a must to go anywhere where you're trying to go. The last thought is this literally breaks my brain. I have to see it now because in my head, it feels very unstoppable. It feels very unstoppable in my head. So the only thing that I could lean on where it won't seem unstoppable is if I look at Von Miller in this system and go, oh, he's either out of place, out of context, or he's lost a very significant step that I didn't realize that he lost. Other than that, this feels very much like when Denver got DeMarcus Ware to go alongside Von Miller, and then they were off to the races of dominance. I really struggle to see how this doesn't work. I really struggle to see how this doesn't work and how this doesn't put the Rams as close to Super Bowl contender as possible. I really struggle.
Yeah,
It's a great move.
no, it's, I mean, it's absolute no-brainer. You, the Rams, I like, listen, say what
And
you
why
want.
would Denver do this? I hate Denver. Why would y'all do this?
Yeah,
Why?
they, I mean, yeah.
This is mean to the rest of the league. Wait till the offseason. This is mean.
Then so, you know, you put him on the put him on the put him alongside, you know, Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd. And put him in a position where he could just basically be a third down and five and beyond, like sack artist. Like it's, you know, like what if he's on the field? I don't.
It breaks my brain. I don't see how that doesn't equal massive success. I really don't.
I don't see how it doesn't work if he's healthy.
I'm struggling to see how this doesn't work.
I was thinking about some of the moves of great defensive players late in their careers, or moves that have changed fortunes for a franchise, or put a
Reggie
franchise.
White, hard to
Yeah,
Reggie White.
Reggie White is a poster child for the one. Like, he changed the culture and took them to another level. And like when he got to Green Bay, he was still in his prime, still, you know, probably the best, because Lawrence Taylor was done by then, probably the best defensive player in the league, along with your guy Bruce Smith. And it changed. It like that was one of the great free agent signs of all time, along with Drew Brees. Like, pure and simple. I mean, you go back, that what Reggie White did with Green Bay is insane. Another one, you know, Simeon Rice going to Tampa. Now, Simeon Rice is not as good is not as good as, of course, Reggie White or even Von Miller for that matter. But still, he
But he seemed
was.
he fit the system
The
perfectly
system,
and added the component that they needed of just a pure pass rusher.
yes, just get to the quarterback. We don't need you to do anything. Just don't care about stopping the run, whatever. Just get to the quarterback. And he had a sack in the Super Bowl that really changed the complexion of that game. That led, you know, helped lead to, you know, helped lead to that ambush. Along with, of course, along with the fact that the terminology on the plays was not changed from when John Gruden was coaching. But you know, that's another story, another day. Bill Callahan, good job. Yeah, so this has a chance to be a move that, like, you get a veteran player who has been a top player who, since 2011, has been one of the premier pass rushers in the league. Super Bowl MVP, knows what it takes to win. And you put him alongside the best defensive player in the sport, one of the best defensive players of this generation. Again, to your point, like it's just like it was a the move was an absolute no-brainer. It's not like they didn't give up first round picks to get it, two second day picks. But again, it's not even about picks. The Rams don't care about draft picks. And I get it. Listen, the Rams, if you're trying to win a championship, this is the way to go about it as far as if you want to go all in. The Rams are going all in, period. There's like we're not Stafford, Jalen Ramsey. We are going sign like we're going all in, and whoever is their capologist, that dude is he needs a raise. Whoever's doing the Rams salary cap in terms of how they get on.
This is one of those deals where the NBA stop, like somebody should stop this. This
No, if David Stern was still alive, this deal
in
would
the
not go
world, like if I'm just gonna be on my bitter side, and I am, this deal makes no sense in the world. The Broncos, I mean the Rams don't even have to pay, they don't even get hit on their cap, real.
No.
Denver's paying most of the salary.
Yes.
This is the sweetest of sweetheart deals in the world. This literally is just like, yo, Von Miller, where would you like to go? Okay, we love you, so here, have everything you want in the world. Like, what? Is this that? What? This not the NFL. The NFL doesn't do that.
Yeah, no,
This is the
yeah.
worst. This is
This
the
is
worst
well, at least, I mean,
ever seen of
well,
any other
at least
team.
you're
Like, this
not
is not fair. Not fair.
at least you're not in the AFC. So,
This
at
is
least you're
not
not.
fair.
At least
Not,
you're
this
not.
just doesn't. This doesn't. This has nothing to do with NFC, AFC. This is about sports and competition.
Right. Yep.
Like, what is this deal that you don't even get hit on your salary? They don't take a hit on their salary cap.
No. No. No.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Mean, just mean. But infinitely fascinating to watch. I can't wait to see what
Yeah,
this defense looks like.
no, without question.
I'm very happy for Aaron Donald. I really am.
Yeah, no, he like I mean he'll still get the, I mean he'll still get the double teams, but this
It's
he
not about the double teams. Here's what I mean when I say I'm very happy for Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's the best player in football.
right.
Let's just stop. Let's just stop talking. He's the best player in football. And so he deserves a championship. He really does. He really does. His talent and the thing that and his goal all the time. Like he never cheats the game. There's no,
No,
we're not talking about
no.
any of these other things. Defensive tackles, or he'll never, ever, 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 ever get the amount of credit that he deserves. At the very least, he deserves to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's a player I'd be happy to see win a
You can,
Super
yeah,
Bowl.
very easy to root for, without question. No, that's 1,000%.
So that's what I mean. I'm happy for him. Personally, I'm happy for him.
This was some debil. This was some injury news. And even though it wasn't my team, that I hated to hear. Derrick Henry out probably for the rest of the season with the foot injury. I had him as, and I'll ask you this question later on, but I'll say it right now. I had him as my MVP up until this point. What he's done in the last 3 years has been for a running back, and in this era is basically just out of this world and unheard of, considering that we're in a passing era. I hate to hear this. This is devastating, of course, for the Tennessee Titans. Takes them completely out of Super Bowl contention. I know. Again, I know they still have the quarterback. I know they still have some weapons on offense. Offensive line, Vrabel, but that Derrick Henry is like no, but like they, I believe they'll still make the playoffs, but as far as like their Super Bowl, their chance to make Super Bowl is like that's not happening. It's just not. Again, I thought Derrick Henry to me it was my MVP. I mean, you could debate, obviously, but pick one of the quarterbacks, whereas Brady, Stafford, or whoever, Kyler Murray. But I thoroughly enjoy watching Derrick Henry run the football as he just wears defenses out over the course of 60 minutes. And we talked about this, his impact on the game at the running back position is just, is, I mean, it's like second to none, because even in the game against Kansas City, those receivers had, you know, wide open parts of the field because of how much attention was going to him. What were your thoughts when you heard this news?
Okay, so this is the most callous that I will probably ever sound.
I know you do know something.
I have analyzed my thoughts on this, and I've heard other people say similar things about how they're very sad about everything. I legitimately do not care at all, like at all. From a pure standpoint, this again, this is nothing about anybody's personal life. I'm talking about specifically on the field, playing and everything like that. I am not the fan that says, "Ooh, I want all your best players available." I'm just not that fan. I want to win the damn game, period, in the story. I want my team to Super Bowl, period, in the story. That's it. They stood in our way.
Yes.
He's gone. They do not stand in our way anymore.
No.
Bye-bye. Secondly, you know, a running back that plays a physical style gets injured. Oh, confusing, surprising. Nah, not really. Not at all.
No.
We've seen this a billion times in NFL. Can't, you know, the run back position is the shortest lifespan of anywhere. That's why it has been devalued. If we're going to keep everything all the way real, everybody's been chattering about this for years. The reason why it's devalued is because you cannot build your team around that position because that position is so injury prone. So it's a fool's errand. In the first place, they're lucky they got about as much time out of it as they did. This was bound to happen. Period. Point blank. End of the story. Now, sucks for him as a player and a person. Absolutely. I talked to a colleague at work, and they were significantly depressed, not because they were a Tennessee Titans fan, but because he was there on their fantasy team.
Yeah.
I remember that those days. I've had many, many of my running backs on fantasy go out with season-ending injuries, and nobody was boo-hooing nationally about it at all. In general, this could not be more part of the game than anything out there. A physical running back having a season-ending injury is absolutely a part of football. Absolutely a part of football. So sucks for him personally, but then me as a Bills fan, I'm not that type of person. But knowing that it does happen, I do not care. I do not care. I'm not in here talking about, oh, he made the game. No, that's not me.
The game will be fine.
Rival that was standing in the way is now eliminated.
Yeah.
That is what it is.
The game will be fine. We'll still watch the game. So
yeah. We'll somehow, some way manage the door. We will.
But to your point about the crowd, we saw this massive
hole in the AFC.
Yeah.
Which was already bananas. Now, I don't know. No. I have no clue.
No. Another major injury that took place, Jameis Winston, out for the season with the MCL, ACL. What do you think about the New Orleans quarterback situation?
Yeah, this one more affected me than Derrick Henry one because, I don't like to see quarterbacks go down like that. I don't like to see any player go down like that where it's the horse collar and bending back of their knee. That one doesn't feel as part of the game as Henry is. I'm not saying it's a dirty play. I'm just saying those feel worse to me. Don't like that. Kind of like Lawrence Taylor, Joe Theismann breaking his leg. And he felt bad. It's just those types of things. Those feel a little bit more wonkier than tearing the ACL, your foot getting, those type of normal wear and tear, playing the game, that type of deal. So I didn't love that. I can't even watch what happened to him. I just don't like those types of injuries at all. And I wanted to see Jameis Winston in a full season in Peyton Manning's offense to really get a for real handle on how good he actually is. I wanted to see what that looked like over an entire season. With that being said, he's now out. And so what do the Saints do? I said to you, Taysom Hill concussion, I feel like a lot of it was they didn't love how threatening Taysom Hill was to Jameis Winston's confidence in that offense. So that was the initial, like, okay, take as much time as you need to recover from the concussion. I think that time frame magically shortens now. And so unless it really, really is a significant one where it's lingering side effects, then I would assume Hill becomes a starter as quick as possible. Peyton loves his offense, of course, as he should. And so he values people who've been in offense for a while. Simeon's been in offense for a very long time. So I can see him easily being a number two quarterback. And then I said, you go out and you sign like Cam Newton for three to see if you can back up. I don't know if it will necessarily be Cam Newton, but I assume they bring in a veteran quarterback to battle for that second position. And then see what happens. If Trevor Siemian is your quarterback for the rest of the year, your chances of making the playoffs are very, very dicey at best. Very dicey at best. So you would think they would need to make a move. And I think Peyton has been dying to, conversely, I think he's been dying to see Taysom Hill to build an entire offense around him. I do think he would enjoy that. And I would enjoy watching that as well.
Yeah.
So that's what I ultimately think happened.
Well, Taysom Hill practiced today.
Yep.
So more than I'll be.
Yep. That timetable was shortened. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. he more than likely will be playing on Saturday. I think that's pretty safe. I think safe bet. It definitely sped up the time thing. Yeah.
Literally the report right before the injury was, I have no timetable on him.
Right, yes.
It went from no timetable to get your ass here now. Timetable. Yeah. Funny how those things happen.
Yeah, no. Life is,
about you. We want you to be better. Nah. You're here now. Get out of here. We don't care how many hair shots you take. You're on this bill. We need some games.
Oh, goodness. Yep. Very impressive win for the Saints, though, on against Tampa Bay. For whatever reason, we know the reason. Their defense gives Tom Brady's
right. Fit. The comparison, I think, is Baltimore, right? Like, when he was in New England, Baltimore never had any fear of Tom Brady. I always envied it.
Yeah.
And Baltimore gave him fits. They just gave him fits. And the Saints have their number. They really do.
Yeah.
They have no fear of the Bucs or Brady. They have none. Zero.
Not at all. So give them a lot of credit for that win, especially when you lose your quarterback in game. Getting back to that word, culture.
Yeah.
You know, Sean Payton has established a culture of the last, 14, 15 years that, it doesn't, there's no one that deals with injuries to quarterbacks better than Sean Payton. That's just like
it's a team full of players who have played in big games and have done things.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And handle the adversity.
Yeah. Yeah.
In coaching and experience in playing matters.
Yeah.
It really, really does.
No. And there's no identity crisis. They know who they are. They know what they're trying to do. Again, that was a big time. That was a big time win.
In the regular season.
Yeah.
They know how to drop one in the playoffs?
Oh yeah, no, they not only drop one, drop them in style. They know how to. Yeah, they don't just lose. They tear their hearts out. They know how to. Exactly. They don't just lose. They lose.
How dare you lose the Case Kingdom? How dare
God,
you?
yeah, okay. Oh my God, that, yo, that play, I still like I still
It's unbelievable. It makes no sense. It's one of
that
those.
play still.
It's just like the Green Bay when they recut. Dallas. No. When it was Green Bay that came back against that. No, who came back against them? It was Seattle. When
Oh
Seattle.
yeah. That when it was
It's
down
just like
16,
I've watched that game
yeah,
half a
no,
dozen times, and
yeah,
every time it's like, there's no way they can win this game.
no,
There's legit no way. The same thing with that game. There's literally, I'm watching the game, it's just like, this doesn't even make sense that they win this game. I'm
no,
watching it, I know the ending, and it still makes no sense to me.
yeah, I know, it's like,
No way. There's just no way.
like
There's
Diggs.
no way.
Diggs makes the catch. I'm like, he had to step out of bounds, right? That's what I was like. Yeah, that was my first instinct.
Not to make the catch. Fathom.
Yes.
Hey, who cares if he makes the catch? No one cares if he makes
That's
that catch.
true. Yes. Yeah.
It just
Why?
it makes no sense. And again, it's just like, what are you like with the all psychic? No. No, you don't just jump in front of the guy and try to recover. Who does that? Who does that? No one does that.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we're gonna say those are the same ones.
There were so many things that had to happen in both those games.
Yeah,
Of
just
course,
say. Yeah.
Seattle and for Seattle and Minnesota win. There were so many things that had to happen. It wasn't just one play, but there
No.
were so many things that had to happen. That I was like, yo, how could all these things happen in one football game? No. They definitely know how to drop one. So we're basically at the halfway point. And I got the standings up now in both conferences in terms of the playoff teams and contenders, for the most part. And it's probably, I mean, in the AFC, you can even add more teams, but when you look at these standings, we kind of talked about, we definitely talked about this on Sunday, but so you know, kind of have some days to kind of digest it a little bit. What are your thoughts, when you look at these standings in both conferences?
Zero. Like, I'm looking at the AFC and I have zero effing clue. At the time we talked on Sunday, Henry wasn't even out yet. We didn't know it was season. He
Right.
had a season in the injury.
Nope.
The only thing that I can look at when I look at that landscape, and I think talent and experience, you give Baltimore a bit of the edge, right? Like a bit of the edge, just based on that. But otherwise than that, who knows? It is who knows? Who knows? Who knows? I think you can have a down work down like a downward arrow on Cleveland. But who knows? Tennessee being removed from the equation, presumably, is just I can't, you know. There's just no way. And
What are your thoughts on?
I gotta see Las Vegas. I gotta see it to believe it. I just gotta see it
Well, I mean, especially, well,
to
here's the thing.
believe it.
Well, I mean,
So
even before this situation, especially post this, like trying to deal with this
I gotta
situation.
see it to believe it. Yep. You just gotta prove it. You just gotta prove it. I gotta see the whole thing. There's no way I'm gonna believe in that team until the very last second. Go, wow, they won the Super Bowl. That's crazy. That's the only way I'm gonna get there. The NFC is a little bit clearer to me. Green Bay muddies the water. Green Bay muddies the water. And you were dismissive of Dallas when we talked on Sunday. You now have to admit Dallas is a for real team that can for real compete.
Yeah, no, they can compete. They can compete. No, but I
So
still would have them like if I'm making a list, they're still like fourth or fifth on that list.
you're
Like I'm
crazy.
still taking,
You're talking crazy.
Tampa Bay, the Rams, and Green Bay over them, fourth or fifth on this
I'm
list.
so down on Green Bay right now. I
They
could
still
not
would be
do it.
Dallas.
If I could, I if nah,
They
I'm
still would
not
be
even going that
Dallas.
far anymore. I'm not
I
going that
would.
far anymore. This news is devastating. It's not devastating. All right, let's back up just a little bit because we're going back to disappointment. The reason why this move with Aaron Rodgers is devastating is because think about all the different conversations in society, in your personal life, and at work. you've had with people who are unvaccinated, right?
Right.
And what that does to the culture and the temperament of the people around you.
Right.
Right? He lied about it. Now, equate all that to then somebody lied to you about their vaccination status. I'm down on Green Bay, and I can't be more down on them. So, damn that. I'm pushing Arizona, Dallas, Tampa, and the Rams above them. I say and the Rams right there. So if I had to reconfigure this entire, if I had to reconfigure the NFC right now, Arizona 1A, Rams 1B, then Dallas, then Tampa, then Green Bay.
You putting Dallas over Tampa?
Yes, I am. Okay. You're dismissive of Dallas. I get why, but yes, I am.
I have to actually see it. Like I gotta see.
Yeah,
it.
I know. That's why I'm. I get it. I know why. But I'm not. I don't have that same dismissiveness of Dallas. I don't.
And by the way, very impressive win against Minnesota on Sunday night. That was
like
that on the road without your quarterback. I don't care who you're playing.
Nope.
On the road without your quarterback. On the that's a big time win.
Not just your like the guy.
The guy, yes. He is the guy, yes. Who's been playing great. Been playing great this season. It should be. We talk about MVP consideration.
He's a for real MVP candidate. Yeah.
Without question. So, no, that was a tremendous win. Tremendous win for Dallas.
By the way, you brought Derrick Henry. I was going to count with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, no, I mentioned
Kyler. I'm just saying, when you were talking to Derrick Henry, I was like, I got a direct counter to that. It's Kyler Murray.
No, without question. I look at these standings.
The AFC, who knows?
The AFC knows. Have two games separating.
This one's going to go down to the wire.
Last game,
Who knows? Who knows? It's matchups.
I think that outside of Tampa, I think that for either Green Bay, Arizona, or Dallas, or in the Rams, that home field is vital. That number one spot. Okay. I think the only thing that can come out without home field and go to the Super Bowl would be Tampa. So I think that number one spot is vital for those other teams. I think Tampa, we talked about this, I think Tampa just wants to get to the playoffs healthy. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
But the rest of those teams, home field is vital in terms of coming out, trying to come in terms of getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Tampa will be. I mean, you gotta kill Tom Brady. You gotta kill him dead. They'll be there at the end. You just gotta beat him. It's just that simple. Like that's one of the things. You just gotta do it, and then you can move on. We can all move on with our lives. But until then, the assumption is he's gonna be in the Super Bowl.
Who do you think physically matches up the best against Tampa in a playoff game? Like who?
Obviously, it'd be New Orleans.
So you think
I think it's the Rams.
The Rams, okay, yeah. That's what I was thinking too. I was thinking, yeah, pass rush, yeah. In terms, because I'm looking at
New Orleans just doesn't have enough offensive talent now to present enough of a threat to make it through other teams. They have Tampa's number, but they damn sure don't have anybody else's number.
No. How would you like a Dallas-Tampa rematch? What would you think about that?
Now, I'm going to feel very contradictory. I know what I said.
Right.
I do think there are matchups that are coming in the NFC that will dictate the path. Do I see Dallas in the NFC championship game? I do not, because I think it will end up being the Rams in Tampa.
Gotcha.
That's ultimately how I think this shakes out now. Arizona is so very, very close in this. But I do need to see Kyler Murray in the playoffs before I can for real co-sign off on Arizona and be like, yep, they are a for real threat. Yeah. So, I think the Rams, if I'm being honest with myself, I think the Rams with that move put themselves in pole position to win the whole show.
Wow. Okay. 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 Which team in the AFC do you think is more likely to recover? Who you have more confidence to recover in? Cleveland or Kansas City?
Kansas City.
And by the way, Kansas City is four.
Kansas City has a difficult schedule, but then Green Bay fell and Titans fell.
Yep.
But that is, you heard my pause. That's a close one because I don't have much confidence in either team. And that NFC West is, I mean, that AFC West is a beast.
Yeah. Well, both divisions are a beast. The AFC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Russell Wilson injury took it down.
No, we're talking about the AFC.
I thought you said both West.
I said both divisions, the AFC.
AFC West. I give Cleveland almost no chance, to be honest with you. So we're splitting hairs. When you say who has the most chance to recover, Cleveland, but right now I don't have either of them making the playoffs. But Kansas City's schedule got like with Green Bay and with Tennessee. Well, Green Bay, that's a big one. That was an L in my head, and now it's not.
So if they win, they'll be 5-4 because they won Monday night. I forgot to update it. So they will be 5-4 if they win. Yeah. I think you basically answered this. So you have Kyler Murray right now as your MVP.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 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 The thing that is mind-blowing to me is his completion percentage in the style that he plays. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. That shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. And that is a direct attest to talent as a passer. And then we know his athletic talent. His team is 7-1.
Yep.
The only loss is to the reigning MVP. There's literally nothing on his record that is bad. I mean, nothing on his resume that is bad. So, how can he not be an MVP right now?
Yep, completing 72% of his passes, throwing for 20.
That makes no sense. It makes
17 touchdowns, 7 picks, quarterback rating of 110. And like you said, the most important thing, of course, his team is 7-1.
How many rushing yards, how many rushing touchdowns?
Three rushing touchdowns, 147 rushing yards. So,
yep.
As far as we talk about impact, yeah, I had Henry, but Henry's out now, so I gotta take him out the mix. I think I would lean towards.
What Stafford's numbers look like? I'm sure there's an argument for Stafford somewhere.
I just
have my own personal bias from seeing him for so many years, but I'm sure there's an argument out there for him.
Stafford's numbers are very good. Let me look him
up. Of course they are.
Let me look him up.
His team is doing very well. Absolutely.
Stafford is at 2,477 yards, 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Stafford's been great.
That's why I bring it up. I know my personal, I'm saying per my personal bias on Stafford, but I'm sure.
Completed 68, almost basically 69% of his passes. Nine yards per completion, which is high.
I would not be able.
Stafford's right there. No, Stafford's gonna be right there.
Now a counter to like, oh, Stafford's an MVP, I would be like, oh, no, he's not, because there would be there's no counter.
No, he's right there. No, especially with, I mean, the Rams are 7-1 too.
So. I mean, it's just him. It's him and Kupp's year. It's just flat out there.
Yeah, no, they're the synergy between those two is
just their year. It is. Yeah. It was like when I saw Allen Diggs, like, it was just their year.
Yeah,
it was their year. It just was. And there's nothing any team could do about it. It's wild.
No,
sometimes it's just your year, and it is theirs. I would never say, oh, Cooper Kupp's the greatest wide receiver I've ever seen. As same with Diggs, but whoo, when that connection happens and they get into that zone, it is their year.
No, when it's your year, it's your year. It's just, I mean, that's it. That's all there is to it. Speaking of that, you bring up with the Rams, looking ahead to next week. Now, we know the luster of the Green Bay Kansas City game goes down, you know, 100-fold with Aaron Rodgers. Tennessee, the Rams. What? How about that defense now with no Derrick going against the Rams, Tennessee with no Derrick Henry?
Tennessee's in a world of trouble.
Yeah,
they are. That is, woo, man. I mean, like, again, this is why they get paid the big bucks. Me and my brother were joking. It's like, if the offensive staff thought they were going to get some sleep this week, all the plans changed, especially the offensive line. Coaches and everybody, it's all late nights. It just, that's a tough one. It's just a tough one. I don't know how they win the game. This is where, I don't know how they win the game. I don't know how they do this in a week's turnaround time. And the Rams just did what they did. That's bad. It's just bad. It's just all bad for Tennessee. And it's just purely going to be what game. I don't even know. I'm just using words right now. Because everything says they should lose this game. Everything.
What's the game plan if you're from offensive standpoint? You just now go air it out?
Oh no, I mean, honestly, so what I would love to see is that you muddy up the game, you slow the game down, you make it as grimy as possible. That's what I would love to see. But I have a sneaky suspicion, knowing the pedigree from which they come in, and knowing what, and just pedigree being New England, and knowing what New England did against any of those teams that had kind of like the stout offense, their philosophy was to spread them out and go short passes all the way up the field. Which is why the Von Miller signing is so transformative. It's so transformative. This is just an unlucky circumstance. Because I think that's a very bad strategy against what the Rams just did. Because we keep failing to mention Jalen Ramsey in all of this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, this is a tough one. This is one of those not fair moments in life. It really is. I do not envy them.
Cleveland, Cincinnati, two pissed off teams coming off tough losses.
Divisional game,
which always adds extra to it.
Nobody's overlooking this one.
No.
I expect Cincinnati to thump Cleveland. That's my full and total. I mean, like you said, a divisional game, so a thumping can look like what Buffalo, Miami is 26-11 in the game. Ugly first half, and then it was just like, all right, it's time to just put these guys away. They're annoying us. Yeah. But at no point in time will I watch this game and be like, oh, Cleveland has a chance to win this. It'll be like, what is Cincinnati doing if the game is close?
I think this is a close game.
Okay.
I'm wondering, because we talked about culture and pedigree. Cincinnati doesn't have a pedigree of winning either. So I'm a one game.
Their talent at their skill makes sense and is better.
It is better right now. It is better, but I still like. I don't know what that Jet game is going to do to him. To be honest with you, like I can't reach back, and I don't have a sense. Like if the Saints played a game like that, I would come back. They would be like, "All right, we're going to come back and we would thump you," because they have a pedigree for bouncing back, a culture established. We talked about since
they're going Cleveland. Up against the Browns. You see, it's like you can't have it both ways. The Browns can't be spiraling and have a horrible culture. And Cincinnati being on the uprise and then be like, oh, but then this game bounce back against, if Cincinnati was going up against Pittsburgh, that's a different story. But they're not. They're going up against Cleveland, who's even more mentally weak than them.
I think it's a close game. I really do.
I mean, divisional game, I would not be surprised at all. I just don't have any
confidence. I think Cincinnati.
I'm way higher on Burrow than anything else.
Right. Yes. No. That.
And again, they're not overlooking this team. Overlook was the Jets because they were playing Cleveland. They were focused on Cleveland and the win that they just had against Baltimore. That's the reason you overlook a team like the Jets. Yeah. Oh, no. The coaches have all the words for their players this week. They will be motivated and ready to play.
Yeah,
I like it. I do.
Yeah, I think they will win the game. I thought about this with the Green Bay Kansas City game. Jordan Love, you're up.
Yep, you're up.
And by the way, not facing the greatest defense ever. Nope, so sure it's like,
yeah, you're up. It's just that simple. You're up.
Yep.
What you got?
This is your audition. Yeah, this is your audition.
What you got? We just saw Matt White do something last week.
Yes.
What you got? It's just that simple.
Yeah, I expect to see a lot of Aaron Jones in this game. I think Aaron Jones will have one. I expect to see a lot of Aaron Jones. That would be to me. And by the way, I thought we didn't go in depth in terms of some of the play calling at the end of the Green Bay Arizona game. I don't know what the hell for all the accolades we threw at the floor with the game plan. I have no idea what the hell he was doing when they last had the ball and not handing the ball to Aaron Jones on that fourth and goal. And
yeah.
Even Troy Aikman was like, I expect Aaron Jones to get the ball. I'm like, well, yeah, you, me, and the rest of the world, Troy. I was like, why are we even? You've ran the ball consistently over the course of the game. Aaron Jones has pushed like two people into the end zone to score a touchdown before. Earlier in the game, what are we doing here? Like, what? I don't know. All right, like, so that baffled me in terms of that play call at the end of that game. Did what they had to do in terms of with the drive, in terms of taking up all the time with the clock, but that just made no sense to me, not handing him, giving him the football. And by the way, also, too, with the, because on the rewatch, I noticed this, there's no way that you can overturn that touchdown call. That was horrible overturn. Like, first of all, you couldn't even see all those bodies. I'm like, if it's called a touchdown on the field, I mean, even Pereira, who rarely goes against the officials in terms of a call, was like, I wouldn't overturn that. So that was annoying to watch. Just as a casual fan to watch, officiating and watch something that could have cost the team a game, you can't overturn that touchdown. What did you thought about that? Think about that play, that overturn.
You are analyzing this game a lot more stricter than I was.
Okay.
I'm sure in the moment I thought something, but that's long out of my head because you know how I felt about that. I was just so very impressed with Green Bay.
Right.
It was a masterful, yeah, good nitpick, but it was a masterful game plan and masterfully executed on pretty much every level.
No, it was.
It just shouldn't have been close.
It was.
It shouldn't have.
No.
Just well done. But to your point, Arizona, you look at all those different things you talk about, and they should be like, we'll see you again. And we'll win next time. They should absolutely feel that way.
Yeah.
Because of all the different things you said. I remember the touchdown vaguely. I remember the pile. I remember everybody. I remember being like, I can't see the ball. I don't know what's going on. And being surprised about the overturn. But, you know, the end of the ending and this, my just admiration for how that game developed and how they did that just overtook everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I expect, again, getting back to the Green Bay, Kansas City, I expect, again, a heavy dose of Aaron Jones. He catching passes. He'll get, you know, fit anywhere from probably 18 to 21, 22 carries. Yeah, this will be, if you got Aaron Jones on your fantasy team, I think you should be in good shape. You should be in good shape this week. I think he's gonna put up some numbers. And again, even with no Aaron Rodgers, Kansas City has played so poorly. Everything is a struggle. Yeah. Like what phrase did we use? Fighting the ice cream. They've been fighting the ice cream for basically the entire year. Like they've been fighting the ice. Like they, everything's hard. Everything is. Even against the lowly Giants, it doesn't matter. It's just who they are. It's who they are right now. So we've seen enough of those games with Kansas City to say, I mean, we can, you know, old Kansas City would, you know, destroy Green Bay. But nah, I expect this game to be close, to be honest with you. I would not be surprised if this was a touchdown field goal game at going to the fourth quarter. Would not be
East bit. I think it's very hard for people to let go of the old Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah.
I let that go. Bristle at that 7-point swing. I do.
That's a who. Take the point. I take the point. I would take the point. Take the point.
Yeah.
Take the point.
This feels as much as this feels like I don't understand why it was a pick'em at first. That's very confusing.
It should not have been a pick'em. No, it should not.
Now it feels like a pick'em. That's what that now it feels like a pick'em.
So the games I can't see, I would say with Aaron Rodgers, I would have had Green Bay like at least
three and a half. Yeah, that's like
three and a half. Yes. Without
Kansas City now 2.5 favorites.
It's 2.5.
That's what I probably would have
said. Yeah, without Aaron Rodgers, I would Kansas City 2.5 to 3 a field goal favorite, which is basically.
But I'm talking about for me, just as a fan, this feels like when I look at that, I don't know who's going to win that game.
No, I don't.
One side is a backup quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
I have no clue when they think Kansas City's playing that bad.
No, they are. No. If a team shows you who they are, believe them. They've shown we've seen this week in and week out. At what point are we not gonna say this is who they are? This is who they are. They're gonna have 2 to 3 turnovers a game. You're gonna be able to run the ball against them.
Absolutely, you are. You run, throw, whatever. Whatever you want.
Yeah, you're gonna be able to basically do what you want against them, against their defense. So this is Mahomes is gonna get a pass, one or two passes tipped for an interception. So this is what it is with Kansas City. Period. So that 8-point swing is like whoa, really? Maybe they're trying to draw some more bettors. I'm sure that's something to do with it. But I expect that number to go down. I think by game time that will go down to probably like 5 or 4. I don't think it stays at 8. I don't. I think it goes down as the week by Saturday, Sunday. By game time, I think that's probably like a 4 or 5 point spread. To be honest with you, but 8 is like whoa, like really? You watch Kansas City, and you know. Yeah, no, I'm not a bettor by any stretch of imagination, but I damn sure wouldn't put no money on that game. That's a stay away. Like, that's, no, you stay firmly away from that game to me. I wouldn't have any confidence in betting and trying to pick that game. Like, Kansas City is. This is going to be a struggle to get to the playoffs. Major struggle. to get to the playoffs. And the only reason I'm saying that, I would, like last week, I told you they're not going to make the playoffs, but they've caught two major breaks, and they still might not make it in regards to Derrick Henry, now Aaron Rodgers, that they would even have a chance to make the playoffs. Before I let you go, what are your thoughts on Indianapolis? Great game with Indianapolis and Tennessee, just as a football fan to watch.
Yeah.
But I think Indianapolis is just like wasting talent. They're hard. They're frustrating to watch. I don't even root for them. Not even my teams. I can't imagine what their own fans are going through right now. What are your thoughts on that game and the Colts?
I think that Phillip Rivers is very good for them. Carson Wentz is serviceable. They have an excellent offensive line. Very good running game. They lack skill at the wide receiver position, and they have a stout defense. I haven't watched them as much defensively, so that's all I can say about their defense right now. Let me just say this. If Andrew Luck was on this team, they'd be terrified.
Yes.
So, yeah. Carson Wentz is perfectly serviceable. That's why I'm like, eh. Like, when I think about my team playing them, my pulse goes up a little bit, but I'm not worried.
Yeah.
But you can't dismiss them at all.
No. And that game, man, imagine, like, so, I mean, you know, if they win that game, they would be 4-4, and Tennessee would be 5-3.
Yeah.
No Derrick Henry. I mean, that was a big game.
Yeah.
I mean, that game, in essence, put them out of the mix. You know, even with Derrick Henry injury, I don't see Indianapolis being.
That's the part that I struggle with them is, if I could see a path for them winning the division, I'm much more interested in them. But I don't.
I don't, no.
Because don't. They're three back.
No, yeah, I don't. They haven't shown any reason that they could put together a 2 or 3 game winning streak, which would, like, they, you know, they'll play, they'll look good 1 week, and they find ways to lose. That's. I mean, they look like a team that's going to just find a way to lose. Like, they're going to play a bunch of close games. You're going to say to yourself, wow, they could have won that, should have won that. Maybe, but they're just going to find a way to lose. That's the type of team they look like. They look like a 7-10, you know, a 7-10 team, 6-11, 7-10 team. That's going to look, we're going to look back and say, well, you know, a game here, a game there, you know, lost a bunch of close games. Yeah, that's what they look like. And they certainly, to your point about Carson Wentz, I will say this, he is throwing the ball better than he has in the last 2 years. He's throwing the ball well.
He is a really serviceable
quarterback, but he's not going to raise. He's not. He has a ceiling. He has a ceiling.
We don't even.
No, we don't. Yeah.
It was that we're getting caught up on that 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's shown us who he is.
Yep.
It's just that simple. Don't try to make him more than he is.
No. No. Yeah, serviceable starter. Yeah. Yeah. They should be in the market for. Again, we talk about the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes for next year. They add them to that list as well.
Goodness.
I know. I know. I understand, but
no, I don't like that at all.
He will have a market. But hey, I mean, Indiana, they don't believe in vaccinations either. So that
whatever. Just I don't know. No, I didn't like that thought. No, I don't like that.
So, going to be interesting. I mean, again, basically at the halfway point.
We're here. Injuries.
Yep.
People doing crazy stuff. I kind of compared it to the beginning of year, school year, you know, everybody's, what's to do? And we're feeling everybody. And then
honeymoon's over.
And everybody's, the honeymoon period ends.
It's over,
The honeymoon period is over. It is now what it is. at this point in time. All the things are going to happen that the only thing that can happen to your favorite team, and especially if your favorite team is in competition, are bad.
Yeah.
The other situation is incremental improvements. That's good. Just incrementally getting better. The other stuff is just horrible news. Somebody got arrested. Somebody sees it in the injury. Just all like, no, don't want any of that. Just incremental improvements through the rest of the season.
You want incremental improvements, and you want boredom. Let's keep it bored. Keep it bored.
And then ultimately, of course, what everybody wants to be is playing their best ball those last few games going to the playoffs.
Yep.
That's where you can get really excited as a fan.
Yeah, you're going to see in these, these are the money weeks, the money, November, December is a separator of the good teams and contenders from just the, regular teams and teams who are not going anywhere, or teams that just, are faking like they're contenders, shadow contenders. You'll see coaching and depth really take shape. So coaching as far as, obviously X and O's wise, but also dealing with injuries and adversity and things of that nature and culture, like we talked about throughout the course of this podcast, but also depth on your roster. So that fourth or fifth round pick will more than likely have to matter in order for you to get to where you need to be, because everybody's going to have injuries. It's just the fact that the difference is, of course, even if you don't lose a Derrick Henry or a James Winston, you're going to lose someone of note. So your depth you have to have depth. That's what it is to it. Moving, especially in this season with an extra week added to it. So those would be the two things that will really stick out, and you'll see, the teams that have those things going for them, go the furthest and be, more likely to be successful moving forward. But that because now, everybody knows who they are as a team. You know what a team is all about. We can pretty much say that. I know we said the AFC is, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know who these teams are. They're not going to be any surprises moving forward as far as goes to what a team's identity and things of that nature. We generally know after 8 or 9 weeks, after 8 weeks, know what a team is and what they're all about. Now, can they improve? Yes. Can the team get worse? Yes. But we, for the most part, know who these teams are. So now, what does your depth look like to me moving forward? And we'll see. Definitely looking forward to it. As always, you had any final thoughts? As always, like to certainly thank Rob Sapp for joining the program. I will see you next time, sir.
All right, sir. Have a good one.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. This episode will be up later on this evening. We also have a podcast later on in the week, and I will have a special guest on that podcast. We're going to be doing Insecure Season 5, Episode 2, and I will have a special guest on that podcast. I'm not even going to say who it is, but you'll just have to tune in and listen. That's all. Have a great rest of your evening. I'll see you next time.